You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. I think everyone's waiting for one thing, and that's the US Federal Reserve tonight, Wayne. What's the consensus at your institution? Is it 75 basis points up?
Yes, I think that's a given. But of course, what they're going to say is more important, I suppose, than anything else, is the actual statement after the meeting, because there's quite a few stories going around now, whether that's right or wrong, of course, we don't know, that the next one, they might give some sort of indication that the next hike might not be quite so big.
Right. Yes, just 25 or 50, probably 50.
Yeah.
Well, certainly the market, if you look at the forward rate agreement market or whatever the equivalent is in the United States of America, it certainly appears that the curve is adjusting itself for this being the last 75 basis points. And they've probably done enough now, haven't they? I mean, maybe one in December. But after that, they can start tapering off a bit. I mean, look at the Bank of England. The Bank of England has changed its policy. So why can't the US change its? I know it's not quite the same thing, but I think they were too late. Now they've packed them all in. This will be the fifth rate rise, won't it? Since March.
Something it must be. Yeah. No, I think it actually is.
But the other thing, Wayne, is that the S&P 500 over the last 2 weeks has rallied by 9%, which is a really big move. Now, again, you say to yourself, does that mean that they are all the equity traders, like bond traders, are also anticipating the really big moves being out the way from the US Federal Reserve? Or is it just people positioning themselves for the end of the year, which is normally a good time for equity investors?
Yeah, look, I'm not a big believer in the rally at the end of the year type of thing. I think that's statistically, it seems to be the case that most of the time it does go up, but it'll do that until the year you try and make money out of it, and in that year it'll go down.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as we've been speaking about for a long time, inflation is going to fall rapidly in the first half of next year, because then your year-on-year measurements of oil, of food, of commodity prices, etc., is coming off a very, very high pace. So those numbers are going to be sharply negative, let alone positive, you know, small positive there. You know, hints of an economic slowdown should sort of dampen the wage demands of people, you know, so that wage inflation might also start to come down.
Yes.
And of course, in the US in particular, a strong dollar is very deflationary. Eh?
Yes, very much so. But on the other hand, if we do get a recession next year, which many people are calling that particular...
Yeah, I think we
then what happens? Do the Fed say, right, we've raised rates, we've gone a little bit too far because we've gone into recession, now we're going to cut rates again? Can they do that quickly,
yes,
or is that disruptive?
Yes. No, they can do that just as quickly.
Mm.
You know, interest rates go in a cycle. You know, they don't hold them at 3% or 4% forever. They react to inflation. So it goes up, and then when inflation falls, it goes down. So it could be quite normal. And then every time they say, oh, you overreacted on the upside, and oh, you overreacted on the downside, just follow what inflation does. They literally just follow the market.
Mm, yeah, they trade what they see on the screen. Okay, well, that's the US out the way. What's been happening in South Africa? Stocks-wise today, individual stocks, there's been a trading update from Pepkor, and also Dis-Chem came out with
its
interim results to the end of August. Dis-Chem's been quite a good performer, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been. Over the years, it's actually been a very, very good performer. And I actually, putting aside whether I think the share price is expensive or not, because that's a different discussion.
Yes.
But it's an extremely good business. I mean, it has certainly shaken up the retail space in pharmaceuticals, because I would think that Clicks and Dis-Chem must have the lion's share of that market. The poor mom and pop stores are almost not around anymore.
Yeah.
And I know some of the other big retailers do have a pharmaceutical offering, but it doesn't come close. And certainly Clicks has always been like this, but what Dis-Chem has done over the years is they start offering other products to their customers.
Okay, which is a sort of it's almost like the Clicks model. Do you remember when you went used to go to Clicks and it was a very confusing shop? You would have irons next to vitamin pills and that sort of thing, and then David Neal from Boots in the UK came over and he shook the place up, and then he cleverly put the pharmacy outlet at the back, so you have to walk to the back past all these nice shiny goods and potions and lotions and things like that, and then walk back to the till and then you get more stuff at the till. Is that what Dis-Chem is doing? It's adding a wider variety to its portfolio.
Well, look, I only know the one Dis-Chem. I don't go to Dis-Chem often, and I've only ever been to the one Dis-Chem shop. But as you walk in, all the medicines and the pharmacies on your right, then on the left is all the cosmetics and the fluffy sandals and all the other stuff they're selling on the left.
Yes.
So they've also seemed to have segregated it. But there's one unique thing, or maybe not unique, but an unusual thing about Dis-Chem.
What's that?
Is that when you walk in there, the customers actually look happy, and I find it a little bit odd, not because customers are happy, but I find it odd that you'll get happy going to shop for your medicines. But a lot of people are fascinated with their health, so obviously they enjoy it because you go in there, they're actually happy-looking customers.
Well, I tell you who does go there quite a lot, and that's our friend Shapiro. He loves it.
And I must admit, I was starving one day, and I was in Dis-Chem, and I bought one of their, like, health food, you know, pre-cooked meals just to put in the microwave quickly when I got home, because I was absolutely starving. Well, in fact, when I got to the garage, I was absolutely starving.
Yeah.
And it was very tasty, even though normally I would never buy anything vaguely healthy, but it was actually very nice.
Yeah, no, you mustn't be hard on yourself. Okay, you could boost your vegetable intake a little bit more, and fruit. I don't know what your attitude towards fruit is, but certainly
I don't like fruit. I don't eat fruit.
So you don't eat fruit or vegetables?
Yeah, I cannot recall when last I ate an apple or an orange. I can't actually remember. It was probably when I was at school, and I know for sure I cannot recall having ever eaten a banana either.
No, I agree with you on the bananas. And when was the last time you had a green vegetable?
No, I have peas. I have, peas.
That doesn't really count.
That's the last vegetable. I had it on Sunday. And they aren't the mushies either. They were nice crisp peas. They're not the mushies.
How about, Wayne, how about broccoli or spinach?
Spinach isn't bad, as long as it's smothered with something. And then broccoli, I don't like broccoli, but my dog loves broccoli. Yes. So every time we go for our Sunday roast and they have broccoli, the dog gets the broccoli and he absolutely loves it. He loves it. The first time we gave him broccoli, he took it out of his dog dish and put it on the floor at the side of his dog dish. And he thought, ooh, he's segregating it because he doesn't like it. He doesn't want it to taint his other food. But he was actually putting it aside because he came back to it last. And normally a dog just chows, you know. There's no great finesse there. But he actually nibbled delicately on the broccoli. He absolutely loves broccoli. And I looked up, it's as long as you're not giving a dog more than 40% of its diet in broccoli, which clearly I'm not.
No.
It's actually quite good for them.
Yeah, that's
so
very good.
He likes broccoli.
But it's interesting that he takes it out of his bowl and puts it aside and then eats it last.
Puts it on the side and he saves it for last.
You see,
I was also astonished when I saw this.
There's a person that's going to be editing this podcast, Wayne, who I've seen him. He sits down with a big plate of food, and then there's chicken, there's potatoes, there's carrots, whatever else it is. But he won't mix it up. He won't have a mouthful of chicken and then a forkful of carrot. He takes each food group, finishes it, and goes on to the next one.
No. I swap around. But when I go to my favorite spot on Sunday, I eat the cauliflower and cheese sauce first.
All right.
Because somehow they've got it just right. It is delicious. The cauliflower is crunchy, and the cheese sauce has got just the right amount of cheese in it. And you get it nice and hot, and it is truly delicious. And then you go on to the roast potatoes and the meat and the carrots and the all the other stuff.
Yeah, delicious gravy. Okay. I'm afraid I don't have a food story for you this week, Wayne, but you indicated before we started this podcast that you had a small food story for us.
Yeah, well, last night, the world's greatest rugby fan
is busy
studying.
How's your partner?
No, very well, but she's busy studying now.
Oh.
She's taken a university course correspondence, and she's busy studying, so she work on my computer. But at about 7:30, I was feeling peckish. So we had tacos last night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, crisp shell tacos, not the soft one, though, the crispy shell tacos.
Right.
And you have it with minced meat. So the minced meat was there, and I thought, now, look, I'll cook. I mean, I do cook now and again, not often, to be honest. So I thought, I'm going to cook. So I took the mince. I added a little bit of a sprinkle of the thing called five-gun spice.
Yes, I know that.
That sponsors rugby. That's how I know I've heard of them.
Hmm.
And we bought something and got a free packet, little packet of six-gun spice. So I added a couple of pinches of that. And then I added some garlic, and I added lots of chili,
good
chopped up chili, lots of it. And then I stuck in a little bit of peri peri sauce, which if I cook is always peri peri sauce in it. And the mince was really nice. But then what was fantastic is that I was scratching in the fridge there, and I found a bowl of tangy guacamole.
Oh, yes. So I was going to ask you that. Did you top it with guacamole?
We had guacamole, little bit of cheese. I added a bit of cashews into mine because I like it with corn, and you get like a salad mix from Woolworths that's got, it's a Mexican mix, Mexican salad mix or something, but it's got corn and it's got a few other things in it. And you chop that up finely. And then you add that with the guacamole and the cashews on the nice mince in the crunchy shells, and it was truly delicious.
Fantastic.
I even had three of them.
Good Lord. Olé, muchacho. Fantastic. Well, I can't give you any stories. I've lost my appetite since I've had COVID, which is still lingering, by the way. But I'll be back with a vengeance soon. Wayne, thank you very much for your time. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.